Chapter 11. See it first from within. Whatever you want to accomplish in life, you must see it first and take possession of it from within. That is, from your mind. For example, if you are to be a goal-scoring, an exceptional footballer, you must first picture yourself in possession of the ball, controlling it and dribbling your way towards your opponent's defense. You must see yourself approaching their goal, beating the goalkeeper and scoring your goals. You must see it. Dream and ruminate it before you get on the pitch. Otherwise, it'll be difficult for you to excel. The same way, if you are a lawyer, you must see yourself addressing the court, with the judge, other lawyers, and the entire courtroom spellbound as they watch and listen to you present your case. You must see and hear yourself making such irrefutable arguments before you get into the courtroom. It all starts from the images of your mind. One of the beautiful things you can do for yourself as a Christian is to always build in your mind the right pictures about what you want in life. It pays when you activate your faith eyes to see beyond your present horizon and envision yourself living out the very best of what God has prepared for you in this world. God never created us to suffer or live the average life where we are barely getting by. He created us to excel and flourish in all areas of our lives. However, until you begin to see yourself that way, living in abundance, perfect health, victory, and success, it'll be difficult for you to experience it. You must first envision yourself living in that realm, living God's dream. Your future is history with God. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. He's talking about Abraham here before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Remember when God said to Abraham, your name will no longer be Abram, but Abraham, because I have made you a father of many nations. Genesis chapter 17, verse 5 of God's Word Translation. Well, at that time, Abraham had no child, and it was naturally impossible for him to, because he was old and his wife was barren. So when God told him, I've made you a father of many nations, he was calling things that be not as though they were. In other words, in the mind of God, Abraham's future was history. God had changed the man's name to Abraham to reflect his new identity and align with the vision for his life. And as far as he was concerned, it was a foregone conclusion. God didn't need to do anything more to make it happen. It was Abraham who needed to discover and align his mind with God's idea and plan for his life. Abraham accepted his new name and began to introduce himself as Abraham, father of many nations. But the lingering question was, where were the children? How was he going to connect with this vision of God for his life and lay hold of that which God had given him? How kind and gracious our Lord is. He knew Abraham was having difficulty connecting with this vision, and since he had no one to teach him, God had mercy on him and taught him to put his faith and imaginative power to work. See with the eyes of your mind. The Lord had taught Abraham a powerful principle about the power of his mind, imagination, in Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 to 15. Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Watch this very closely, and catch what God was teaching Abraham here. He said to him, from where you are, look northward, southward, eastward, and westward. And all the land that you see from that spot, I'll give to you and your seed forever. God was telling Abraham to see, not with the limited sight his physical eyes offered, but with the infinite range of his mind's eye. That's why he told him to stay in one spot and see all the land from there. This becomes even clearer as we read what God tells him in the next verse. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Genesis chapter 13, verse 17. This is absolutely remarkable. God had told Abraham to stand in one place and look from there northward, southward, eastward, and westward, and all the land that he could see would be his and his seed's forever. Now he tells him to get up and walk through the length and breadth of all the land he could see. Let's suppose for a moment that Abraham had looked with his physical eyes and seen all the stretch of land his eyes could possibly take in. Now God tells him to walk the length and breadth of all that land. It would have been practically impossible for Abraham to do that. What God was simply saying to Abraham was this: Son, see with your mind. And guess what? Abraham saw the whole world and took all of it. He left nothing out. You'll see this when you read Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed, through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Did you see that? God made Abraham a promise that he would give him everything he saw. Well, Abraham saw the whole world, and God fulfilled his end of the bargain and gave it all to him. That's how Abraham inherited the world. But God had to show Abraham how to do it by using the power of his mind. Help your vision. Now back to the question of how Abraham would connect with God's vision for him as the father of many nations. Remember, God had taught him in Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 to 17, how to use his mind and visualize what he wanted. However, when it came to this issue of having an heir, Abraham just didn't seem able to see it. Even though God had told him before this time, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Genesis chapter 13, verse 16. Abraham didn't catch the vision or see the picture from that particular prophecy. God knew he needed something to help Abraham's vision. So one palmy night in the plain of Mamre, he told him to step outside his tent, look up in the sky and count the stars. Abraham looked up and started counting, but there were too many stars and he couldn't number them. Then God said to him, so shall thy seed be. And in that instant, that moment of awakening, the Bible tells us Abraham believed. He believed because his mind had now formed the picture, and he could literally see tiny little faces in those stars twinkling back at him from the sky that night. God helped Abraham's vision by telling him to look up at the stars in the sky and see if he could number them. It's important that you help your vision so it becomes clearer to your mind. And you can do that by focusing your mind on things that strengthen or enhance your vision. The three realms of vision. You have three means or channels of vision. 1, the eyes of your spirit. 2, the eyes of your body. 3, the eyes of your mind. 1, the eyes of your spirit. What the eyes of our spirit see is not under our control, but God's. You can't say, right now I want to see something in the spirit realm. No, you won't, because seeing into that realm is God's work. It's up to him to make something appear to your spirit or to open the eyes of your spirit to see into the spirit realm. Understand that when God put you in the earth, he made your spirit to function through your outward man, your body. Every spirit requires a physical body to function in the earth. And while you are here, you can't choose to function by your spirit without your body. That would make you illegal to the earth. This is why everything you'd ever do directly from your spirit would have to be through the Holy Spirit. And he would manifest himself to you and deal with you in that realm without your body. This means the eyes of your spirit can only see what God shows them. You can't put them to work by yourself. That's why you've not yet seen some things you've always wished you could. It's because you simply couldn't open your spirit eyes by yourself. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You will also find in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, that the Amplified Bible calls visions divinely granted appearances. You can, however, use your other two sets of eyes at will. God gave them to you for your choice operations, and it's up to you when and how you use them. 2. The eyes of your body. The eyes of your body are your physical eyes in your head. You can choose to use them whenever you want. Simply open them and you can see what's around you. However, the sight or vision you get through these eyes is limited. They can only see things that are already existent in the physical realm. They can't see the invisible. This is where the eyes of your mind become so important. 3. The eyes of your mind. The eyes of your mind are your creative eyes. In the mental realm, you're able to create whatever we want to see. Your physical eyes can only see what already exists in the physical. They can't make things become. The eyes of your mind, however, can produce what you want to see in the physical. In my book, Recreating Your World, I teach that your imaginative power is your creative ability. God gave us the ability to imagine as a special gift to help us create the world we want to live in. If you don't like the life you are living, you can change it. God has given you the tool, your mind, and the ability to make the change. This ability is naturally God-given. With your mind, you can choose what you want to see. Seeing only what exists in the physical is living at the lower plane of life. And sadly, that's where many are. But if you are born again, you have the God nature, and God wants you to lift your vision and see the unseen.